I'm Hannah Coe-Fitman.
I'm Gavin Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are...
The Fuckboy Podcast!
So, Hannah, what did you do last night? I feel like you have a good story for us.
Oh my gosh, last night was pure bliss. I went to see Les Majestés, which is a drag king show at, they appear all over, but it was at the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club last night. Oh my god.
Giddy aunt.
I couldn't believe it. Like, and especially because last night was also RuPaul's Drag Race final
already,
and just seeing, yeah, I know, I haven't really been. It's interesting because RuPaul's Drag Race has always been such a special show to me. I've loved it. It's been my I guess it's sort of mainstream queerness, yeah. Right? Like everyone's seen it now. But then going to see these drag kings last night, and it was the artistry was incredible. Politically, it was so moving. And also, I was just blown away by everyone's talent. They were all so, so good. And I've seen a lot of drag queen shows in my life, and there will always be a few weak links. Like, generally, you know, people who are newer to it, whatever. This was the creme de la creme of drag king performance. I was just blown away. And it just made me realise, it's so gatekeepy, RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's so sad because I've kind of fallen out of love with it in the way that I once was so enamored with it. And then I was because I've been really oh, it's a shame that now that I'm aware that RuPaul can be a bit of a villain, how do you fill the void? And going and seeing that last night, I was this is where it's at. I can't believe how long I've been sleeping on it. So if anyone can go and see a Les Majestés show, if you're in London,
yes,
oh my gosh,
I'm sold.
It just beautiful and brilliant and so funny. Also, the room was just fire, electric, so respectful, loving. It was radical joy and care was the air in the room. And it was just, oh, delightful.
Hell yeah.
Not a fuckboy in sight.
Oh, what a delight.
I mean, to be fair, some of the drag kings probably, they did actually play on that stereotype, but I was I am absolutely fine with this.
I love it. Like the fuckboy stereotype, or a specific fuckboy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ooh, there was one performer who, he did, it was loads of different cuts together from different movie clips, and it was him being a fuckboy in a club and going on Tinder and trying to fuck women and failing.
Oh,
it was
God,
brilliant.
So good.
Funny. The thing that really moved me was I kept being I'm so jealous that I didn't grow up more in this sort of community, because everything, seeing so much diversity, so much different bodies, different expressions of gender, so everyone is so different, but everyone carries so much currency in what they're bringing, their intelligence, their expression of their art, everyone is bringing something, and everyone in that room was hot property. There was not a single person where you felt you aren't, when you, in some places you walk into a room and you're I have no currency here, no one cares about me, I'm not, I don't fit in. There was not a single person where it was like that, and it was just so nice to be anything that you felt insecure about or off about, it's almost it was checked at the door. It was quite incredible. I don't know if it was this night in particular, but just a really special show. So I really recommend it.
Oh, what a night.
Yeah, really good. Did you guys do anything nice?
Last night, I watched the most recent episode of Succession.
So good. Both of you are being so good, but I won't say any details.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you so much.
No, we can't. My night last night was very PG. What about yours, Kat?
I went to my friend's for dinner because she's moving back home on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we went over for dinner and we just sat and we giggled and she made the most incredible pasta. Oh my God, it was lush. And we had she had alcoholic mulled wine. Me and Jules had non-alcoholic mulled wine. It was just delicious. It was so good.
Have you guys tasted my mulled wine before?
No.
Because I used to work at a Christmas fair and I would make the mulled wine. And so I have excellent recipe. It's super easy. So it's just like 2 red to 1 white, whatever ratio you want to wine. Do that on. Yeah.
Well, bloody Nora.
Mm-hmm. Orange juice and then mulling spices and then a fresh orange that you put cloves into and drop that in. And then you can add a shot of amaretto. So that
sounds banging. To the whole thing or to your personal drink?
To your personal drink.
Wild. Nice.
Fuck yeah, ladies. Shall we talk about... Shall we go into the episode?
Well, bloody Nora, I think we simply must.
Guys, we're doing the one, the only... Dun, dun, dun. Angelina Jolie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
baby. I'm very excited because I don't feel like we've done a modern day real person thus far.
I don't think we have.
I think it's safe to say... We haven't done anyone as hot as Angelina Jolie. Because I think she is arguably the hottest human being on planet Earth in our millennia.
Although I must say, I actually don't think she is my top choice of hottest woman, in all honesty. She's
really?
Too... And you know what? I think I can say this because this is probably what most people find really hot. But for me, slightly too angular. I prefer... something softer.
Mm-hmm.
I would go I would even say Kristen Stewart is less angular and therefore I would say more. But even though she's of a similar sort of looks and has a similar sort of air of sex appeal, I think. Do you think?
I think totally different sex appeal.
I think it's the same.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I think of when I'm talking about Angelina Jolie as well, I always think of her back when she was off the wall, not doing the mainstream, having a family thing, was wearing a fucking vial of blood around her neck. That's the Angie that I'm talking about.
That you know and love.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean now.
But I think Angie is a bit more emo, punk, death metal than Kristen. I feel like Kristen's more Converse, Oasis, chill. Back of the truck kind of vibes.
I see what you mean.
I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, I actually sort of meant just kind of looks-wise, I think, when I say
they've both got that. A jawline that could cut glass.
Yes, exactly. And they both have these very striking features, but I think there's just something that's a little bit softer.
Yep.
And I prefer a slightly softer look.
I think I would just take her in any fashion or form because she is honestly, ever since a young age, she has been my cinematic heartthrob.
Mm.
And I was talking to my partner about her on a walk and he was like, oh my God, I think Angelina Jolie is your mastermind topic. Because I knew frightening amount about this woman who I do not know personally. It was shocking just how much a matter I knew of about time. Her life.
Is she single now?
When you were young, you were really obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She awakened my sexual longing for same sex.
Is she single now, Hanako? Mm.
She is.
Well... Bloody Nora, now's your chance.
Bloody Nora, I'm gonna bloody Nora.
This is the moment.
Okay, guys, are you ready?
Oh, God,
I was born ready for this.
Angelina Jolie Voight was born June the 4th, 1975, making her a Gemini.
Oh, she's got huge Gemini energy.
Doesn't she? In Los Angeles, to her actor parents, John Voight and Marceline Bertrand. She has a brother called James Haven that she famously snogged on the red carpet. But more on that later.
Stop.
When Jolie was just 1 year old, her father left after serially cheating on Marceline, which was the catalyst for a fraught relationship between daughter and father, even to this very day. So, Marceline, a single mother, had to abandon her acting ambitions to focus on raising her children. And it was Marshaline, not famous acting father Voight, who inspired Jolie to get into acting. Oh. They spent evenings together watching film after film, colouring in Jolie's dreams of one day becoming a movie star.
Oh boy, did she.
But her oozing red carpet sex appeal and achingly raw performances were a far cry from the bespectacled, brace-wearing teen who was often bullied for her gangly frame and less than affluent upbringing when you compared it to her Beverly Hills high school peers. It was when she transferred to Marino High, around age 14, that she came more into her own, donning all black clothes that would serve as a kind of uniform for Angie to this day, living a punk lifestyle where she went out at night to mosh out at gigs, ugh, or else stay at home with her new live-in boyfriend where they would experiment with knife play and cut each other during sex.
Oh my gosh, Hanako, this is so, like, you when you were younger, obviously not what you were actually doing,
know,
but, like,
right?
Your aspiration, like, that thing of being like, that's the kind of life.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was a little emo kid going out moshing when I was 14. I didn't have a living boyfriend, though.
No, probably for the best, TBH.
Probably for the best. Probably no, my, best. I don't think my Christian mother would have allowed that kind of shenanigan.
not premarital.
Absolutely not. So of this time, she said, quote, "I had started having sex with my boyfriend and the sex and the emotions didn't feel enough. I was no longer a little girl. In a moment of wanting to feel closer to my boyfriend, I grabbed a knife and cut him. He cut me back. We had an exchange of something, and we were covered in blood. My heart was racing." So intense, Angie. Gosh.
She's a vampire, I feel.
Yeah. I remember reading that when I was younger and just thinking, why do I feel turned on?
Because it's Angelina Jolie. If why it was anyone am I else, you'd be like,
why am I attracted to this bloodletting? Around this bloody time, the acting classes that she had started bloody hell that she had started taking when she was a kid had fallen by the wayside, and instead she had aspirations to become a funeral director, taking
that
at-home courses.
Hilarious.
I love that.
That's so good.
I love that.
She started taking at-home courses to study embalming, which is the art and science of preserving human remains by treating them to delay decomposition. At age 16, after the relationship had ended with her boyfriend, Jolie graduated from high school and rented her own apartment. Age 16.
How?
Yeah, how?
I don't know. I guess maybe her dad helped her out. She also started modeling. That
could
have been
it. Yeah, and I'm sure she worked.
Soon after returning to her theatre studies, so Jolie graduated from high school and rented her own apartment. Soon after that, she returned to her theatre studies and moved away from her tumultuous teenage years, even though she admitted in 2004 that, quote, "I am still at heart and always will be just a punk kid with tattoos." But the darkness that would come to define Jolie's early work was not something that went away. She struggled with insomnia and an eating disorder and began experimenting with drugs. By age 20, she had used, quote, "just about every drug possible, particularly heroin."
Oh my gosh, I
did not know this.
Yeah. So we should probably put in some trigger warnings here because I'm going to mention suicide. So Jolie suffered episodes of depression and planned to commit suicide twice, at age 19 and again at 22. The second time she attempted to hire a hitman to kill her.
Oh my gosh.
When she was 24, she experienced a nervous breakdown and was admitted to a psychiatric ward for 72 hours.
Wait, can I just ask, was she working at this point?
Was this pre or post Girl Interrupted?
And all of this was the backdrop to the kind of blossoming career most of us can only dream about.
Right, I see. Oh my word.
Wow.
Gosh, that is so much to be going through in a personal level when your career is just completely dominating your entire free time, I imagine.
Totally. And it's just totally exacerbated by that too, right?
Yeah, and the media. Yeah. And oh my God, like, we're talking the 90s here, right?
Mm-hmm.
90s and noughties, where it's like heroin chic looks, like that's what's glorified. The
presser, the press, pure evil.
Oh my God, just so evil at this point. Taking lives, the press are responsible for so much. Death and madness during this period. Bless her.
So after a series of rejections and people calling her too dark for Hollywood, age 20, Jolie lands a role in her first film, Hackers. Although it wasn't a huge box office success, it did put her name on the map. And it was there she met British actor Johnny Lee Miller, who would be husband numero uno.
We love a lady who's had multiple husbands.
Yes, we do. Even though vows were exchanged and blood was spilt, Jolie used her own blood to write her husband's name on her wedding t-shirt. Love a woman who wears a t-shirt to her wedding.
Also, use his blood, not yours. Classic.
Yeah. She told the New York Times, quote, "It's your husband. You're about to marry him. You can sacrifice a little to make it really special." Despite all this, yeah.
Love that.
His blood. Despite all this, she quickly started up another relationship, this time with a woman. On the set of 1996's Foxfire, a 22-year-old Jolie began a passionate affair with the model actress Jenny Shimizu, who swept Jolie off her feet the moment they met. She recalled in an interview years later, quote, "I probably would have married Jenny Shimizu if I hadn't married my husband. I fell in love with her the first second I saw her."
Oh.
Wow.
So fit. I love so love fit. At first sight.
Same.
And especially they continue two fit women.
Two women, I know. They continued the affair for years, all the while Jolie was still married to Miller.
Were they open or was it a secret affair?
It was a full-on affair. So this proud bisexual ended things with Johnny only 3 years later after the wedding, and a year later things fizzled out with Shimizu too. This might have had something to do with another on-set romance, this time whilst filming the 1998 movie Pushing Tin. Okay, ladies, a few things about husband numero dos. Billy Bob Thornton was almost 20 years older than Angelina, and engaged to Laura Dern.
No. Did not know that. I didn't know that either. That's so scandalous.
In it.
I wonder if Laura Dern has similar vibes.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, as in, I never thought Laura Dern was like, I don't know. Well, mind you, Billy Bob Thornton is quite wild and off the wall. So I always thought Laura Dern was quite, you know, straight and narrow. Yeah. But maybe not.
Yeah.
I feel like Laura Dern is like a queer icon. Obviously, she's not queer. But like everyone is like, oh, she's like the best lesbian in the world. And Laura Dern is like, I'm not a lesbian.
And we're like, you are.
We're like, you have to be.
I feel really sorry for you if that's the case.
Yeah.
So Laura Dern said of the whole fiasco, "I left our home to work on a movie, and while I was away, my boyfriend got married, and I've never heard from him again."
Stop.
And there's this really awkward photo recently of them, like, at the Oscars or something, where Laura Dern is sat at a table, and Billy Bob Thornton, like, crosses behind her, and she kind of looks over her shoulder, and it's just so awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
The tension is palpable.
I'm amazed that that didn't just turn her queer anyway. I'd be like,
she is.
A year later, after Angie and Bebop meet, they get married in Bebop. They get married in 2000 in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So this
a Vegas wedding.
This Love a Vegas that. Wedding.
I hope it was really tacky, and I hope Elvis married them.
And I hope they were both covered in each other's blood.
Yeah.
Anything else would not suffice.
Yeah.
So this was the dynamic duo that wore vials of each other's blood around their necks.
Yes, a classic. Yeah.
Billy actually told a red carpet interviewer once that they had fucked in the car on the way here, while Angelina bit at his face and gnawed at him. And they also talked about installing a padded room in their house for, quote, "those moments in the middle of the night when you want to kill each other because you're so in love." What?
Guys, can you believe that people panic about saying the wrong things in interviews? And these guys were just here being like, sometimes murder strikes at midnight.
Yeah.
And so we've built a padded room.
It's so Joe Goldberg.
Yeah.
In you.
My God.
Yeah.
Andy's gonna be the next love interest.
Oh god. Okay, so just to clear things up, Angie did say this about the blood vials. Quote, "It was never a vial. It was like a flower press. It was like from a slight cut on your finger and you press your fingerprint in. It was kind of a sweet gesture. I thought it was kind of romantic." What do you guys think?
I'm fine with it.
Would you be up for it?
I think it's better if it was a full-on vial of blood. I think that's jokes.
Yeah, I think that's quite jokes.
I'm massively into blood, guys.
Okay, then.
I think it's super hot.
Look.
Love it.
We don't kink shame here.
I think that is quite sweet, actually, the flower thing.
Yeah, I think it's cute. And I'm with you, Hannah. I prefer if it's a vial.
Yeah.
My only concern would that it would dry up relatively quickly.
Oh gosh, would that happen?
And also, like, you've got to really make sure that is the stopper
is secure.
Yeah.
Well, Hanako, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now.
Oh, what? A vial of my blood. Okay, but then I have to give you a vial of my blood.
Hanako, I would gladly wear a vial of your blood.
Okay, fantastic. Kath, do you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, all right, go on.
Go on.
Okay, so...
how are we getting the blood? This is the thing that is slightly confusing me. It's like, how do you get the blood?
Well, you do have to cut yourself somewhere.
Do you drip it into the vial? Oh, you drip it into the vial. Yeah, fair.
We ever had
in my head,
test,
I'm like, you've got to go to the NHS. You've got to be like, can you take some blood?
No, you could do the at-home blood. Like, have you ever had an at-home blood test?
Fuck that.
They just prick your finger.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone should have one if you're sexually active. Have a blood test.
Oh, that I'm fine with. But the intravenous ones, I'm like,
oh, no, I couldn't do that to myself.
Wouldn't do that at home.
No.
Oh, no. I don't think we need to put an intravenous in each other to get
the blood flowing. Then I'm down for this, guys.
Okay, great. Glad we're all on the same page.
Okay, so let's zoom in on her career because it is still going from strength to strength.
Yeah.
Despite all the personal drama and the love life, it is whoa. So by this point, Angelina has already won 2 Golden Globes.
Wait, by this point being today?
She's gone through Johnny Miller and now she's on Billy Bob Thornton.
Of course. She's how old at this point?
24. By this point, she's won 2 Golden Globes, one of which was for her fearless performance of Gia Carraghi in the HBO's TV film Gia.
Ah,
as one critic noted, quote, "Her role in this film is quite possibly the most beautiful train wreck ever filmed." She was also nominated for an Emmy and she won her first Screen Actors Guild Award. While shooting her highly accoladed film Gia, she told her then husband, Johnny Lee Miller, that she would not be able to phone him because, quote, "I'd tell him, I'm alone, I'm dying, I'm gay, I'm not going to see you for weeks." She was method acting.
Oh my gosh.
After Gia wrapped, she briefly gave up acting because she felt that she had nothing else to give. And she's also impeccable in Girl Interrupted, which was
so good.
Where she plays a sociopathic rehab patient, which was an adaptation of Susanna Kaysen's memoir of the same name. So Winona Ryder, who played the main character.
Oh my gosh.
What a cast! Like,
I know.
White Ryder, Brittany Murphy, Angelina Jolie.
Incredible.
Elizabeth Moss is in it as well. Yeah.
I don't remember her.
So Winona Ryder hoped that this role would be her Hollywood comeback, but the film instead marked Jolie's big break in Hollywood instead. Jolie won her 3rd Golden Globe Award, her 2nd Screen Actors Guild Award, and an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in 2000.
So deserved. Phenomenal performance.
But the night of the Best Supporting Actress win was somewhat eclipsed by some more red carpet public affection. This time with her brother.
What?
The press went into a frenzy when she smooched her younger brother on the lips at the Hollywood event. Now, it was later revealed that the siblings had been visiting their mother, Marshalline, who was battling cancer, in hospital earlier that day, which explained their emotional embrace. Jolie addressed the kiss and told Entertainment Weekly that the pair had nothing more than brotherly love for each other. She stated, quote, "My parents really loved that moment, and that's what will always matter." Elsewhere, James told the Daily Mail in 2007, I did not give Angie a French kiss. It was something simple and lovely. I congratulated her on the Oscar win and gave her a quick kiss on the lips. It was snapped and became a big thing. So, Kath, would you kiss your brothers?
On the lips?
Yeah.
No, but my nanny always kisses me on the lips.
Yeah.
Like, my nanny will like, try and smooch us. And, like, that's mm-hmm. just what she does.
Yeah, I think that's, like, relatively normal older person to younger person thing. I guess it's less normal. What is normal? You know, less common.
Age to age.
Same age. Mm. How much of a smooch are we talking? Was it photos or do we have video footage?
I looked online, couldn't find any videos. There are lots of photos online.
Right, so it probably was a kiss that got snapped and then is just...
I think it's our generation who find that weird. Or, like, maybe not our generation, because clearly people found it weird at the time. But, like, I do think...
I don't find it that weird.
Yeah, like, I think it's a thing that we've all started finding peculiar. Like, my uncle's definitely kissed my grandpa.
I,
like,
just also wonder if
it's just normal.
Yeah, and if there's also, you know, what we deem to be affection now and romantic affection, like, touch and things have probably just changed with time. Like, what's deemed appropriate, what's deemed romantic.
Yeah.
You know? Because I guess once upon a time, people were not kissing anyone but their... Like, as in, you'd kiss your family and your husband. But, like, until you were married, it wouldn't be something romantic. So probably to kiss a sibling on the lips wouldn't be associated with sex, even.
Mm. I wonder. Well, it's like you see little brothers and sisters kissing each other on the lips. And it's so cute. And at what point do we deem that inappropriate? I just think it seems so unfair. And, like, taking something really innocent and loving and turning it into something salacious just because people feel uncomfortable about it. It's just a show of affection. And, like you said, it's not, you know, as common as, say, a hug. But if there's nothing else to it other than just brotherly affection, I think it's really lovely. And I don't, you know, I think we should all be snogging our brothers and sisters. So let's just take stock here. Angie's only 24 years old.
What the fuck?
Oh,
and she's won a fucking Oscar. And yet, even to this day, I would argue that she is underrated as one of the great actors of our lifetime.
I agree.
I'd say she's akin to Jack Nicholson, if not better. When you watch her in films like Gia and Girl Interrupted, you see a woman letting you into the deepest, most vulnerable parts of herself, while there also is plenty of her joy and euphoria too. She performs without her ego getting in the way, though there's plenty of character ego shining through on screen.
Yeah.
She is extraordinarily beautiful without being self-conscious, which is just a huge feat. Yeah. Her work is naked without her ever taking a single item of clothing off, though, of course, no one complains when she does. She is electricity in human form, and ever since I knew about her, I have been in love. So, you know, Angie for president and my adoptive mummy. And so this is where Angie's next adventure may work in my favour, because in 2002, she does something that shocks the world again. Only 26 years old, she adopts her first child.
I didn't realise she was so young.
Super young. So while filming Tomb Raider in Cambodia, her eyes were opened to a life of poverty, a country and a people ravaged by war. Something in Angelina's attitude changed. She realised that her self-destructive tendencies were close to gratuitous in the face of such tragedy. For the first time, she found herself looking out rather than in, beyond her inner demons and those of her characters, to the outside world, to the child victims of genocide and war.
Wow.
Now, this would be the beginning of a shift in focus, a newfound purpose that would propel her into her lifelong humanitarian work. Mm. Quote, in 2001, I was in a school program in Samlut, playing blocks on the floor with a little kid, and as clear as day, I thought, my son is here. I didn't feel a connection with any of the children, but they said, there's one more baby. A baby was lying in a box that was suspended from the ceiling. They looked at each other, and something magical happened. Angelina said, I cried and cried. I knew once I committed to Maddox, I would never be self-destructive again.
Gosh, that's like a really incredible switch. Like, you know, people often say with addiction or, you know, things like that. There'll be like a switch moment that just makes you, I guess, yeah, come out of yourself. And that is, I never knew that was her reason.
Yeah. For some people, it's hitting rock bottom in their addiction. For some people, it's having an experience that changes your life where you realize that there's more to life than just your inner demons.
And how precious life is, and yeah.
And I think she kind of, I read a few articles where she was like, you know, I was living in a very, I was living in a bubble in Los Angeles, and then I go to Cambodia and my trauma and my pain completely pales in comparison to what these joyful children have gone through. And if they can get through it, I can get through my own shit. And it was kind of changing the focus.
I do have to say, how wild. I mean, thank God it turned out well, right?
Yeah, thank God it did.
But like 26, history of addiction, full-time job, press all over, adopting a child, like...
in another country as well, taking them away from their culture, how, what they know, yeah. Like...
obviously, wild. Like... written in the stars, because fuck how that could have like gone, do you know what I mean?
Well, you compare her experience to someone like Josephine Baker's, right?
Yeah.
Josephine Baker did exactly what Angelina Jolie did, and Angelina said she even based her family on Josephine Baker's. And with Josephine, her family, it was awful. It was toxic. It was falling apart at the seams. A lot of them ended up in... hospitals, in rehab, or killing themselves. It just, you know, it can go really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just 7 months old, she adopts her first son, Maddox. So at this point, she's still with Billy Bob Thornton, but it's becoming clearer and clearer that they're growing into totally different people. Mm-hmm. Angelina actually adopted Maddox as a single parent, even though to the press they said that they would do it together. Or maybe initially they said that they would do it together, and then slowly but surely realised that it was a one-woman project, one-woman adoption.
Yeah.
So a few months later, the couple split and they were officially divorced in 2003. But it sounds like they stayed relatively friendly. She told Vanity Fair in 2005, "He's a really good man. He's hysterical. We had a lot of laughs. What went wrong, or not even wrong, but what wasn't meant to be, was that he was focusing on his music and I was upstairs reading. I went through a change in my life and started paying more attention to the news and learning about other countries and becoming more politically active." So this is the point in her life where her focus shifts from moshing and being a punk.
Yeah.
She had that stage. Then she was, you know, in full on having a nervous breakdown in rehab, injecting or smoking heroin, whatever it was. Then she had this incredible career and then these, like, you know, love affairs. And now it's like she's in this moment where she's now a mother. Her responsibilities have changed. She now has to look after another human being. And this is the point where... she meets
BP.
God, talk about fucking controversial.
The hottest couple since Anthony and Cleopatra.
The hottest couple, a couple since...
Brad and Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. Oh.
So this hot duo met in 2004 on the set of the iconic spy comedy Mr. and Mrs. Smith, as we all know.
As we know.
Brad was married to Jennifer Aniston at this point, and there were rumours of an on-set romance, though, of course, it was all denied, even to this day.
Oh, really?
So in my head, I was like, oh, they got together on set, but even to this day, they both still deny it. And Jennifer Aniston is like, yeah, I choose to believe my then-husband. I choose to believe that they didn't cheat. But I'm like,
well, maybe they did, and they just, you know, like, even if Jen knows the truth, even if they know the truth, what, like, we don't get to know the truth. That's not our, we don't have a right.
It's none of our business.
So, yeah, it's none of our business. And also, like, better to have the narrative that Jen would like, I think.
Yeah. So both did admit in later interviews that they both fell in love on set. So whether it was consummated is up to you, but top tip, it's more fun if you do believe in the affair and then you think about it all the time. So in January 2005, Brad and Jen announced that they're splitting up. And just a few months later, Brangelina is born. Featured in a W Magazine photo spread titled Domestic Bliss.
Domestic Bliss!
Basically confirmed everything.
God, that really goes against kind of Andrew's whole brand before that as well.
This is how I remember her.
So from then on, it is go, go, go. Brad legally adopts her children. They have a baby. They attend countless red carpet events together. They divide the nation into Team Jen and Team Angie. They welcome twins in 2008.
Is that twins that they had biologically together?
Together, yeah, biologically. So it's during their marriage that the 37-year-old Jolie underwent a preventive double mastectomy after learning she had an 87% risk of developing breast cancer due to a defective BRCA1 gene.
Yeah.
Her maternal family history warranted genetic testing for BRCA mutations. Her mother, actress Marceline, had breast cancer and died of ovarian cancer, while her grandmother also died of ovarian cancer. Her aunt, who had the same BRCA1 defect, died of breast cancer just 3 months after Jolie's operation. Following the mastectomy, which lowered her chances of developing breast cancer to under 5%, Jolie had reconstructive surgery involving implants and allografts, which are transplants from a donor.
Oh my God, imagine being like, I donated my skin.
My boobs. I know.
And she can have mine. Taken.
2 years later, in March 2015, after annual test results indicated possible signs of early ovarian cancer, she underwent a preventive salpingo-oophorectomy, which is the removal of an ovary and its fallopian tubes, as she had a 50% risk of developing ovarian cancer due to the same genetic anomaly. And despite hormone replacement therapy, the surgery brought on premature menopause.
Wow, I didn't know.
Gosh,
that.
How old was she when that happened?
37. When she did the salpingo-oophorectomy, she was 39.
That is really early to go through menopause. Bloody hell.
After completing each operation, Jolie discussed her mastectomy and oophorectomy in the New York Times with the aim of helping other women make informed health choices. She detailed her diagnosis, surgeries, and personal experiences and described her decision to undergo preventive surgery as a proactive measure for the sake of her 6 children. Jolie further wrote, quote, "On a personal note, I do not feel any less of a woman. I feel empowered that I made a strong choice that in no way diminishes my femininity. I choose not to keep my story private because there are many women who do not know that they might be living under the shadow of cancer. It is my hope that they too will be able to get gene tested and that if they have a high risk, they too will know that they have strong options."
It's amazing.
So in the year between her mastectomy and her salpingo-oophorectomy, that fucking word, man. Her and Brad get hitched. The ring costs $1 million.
$1 million.
Fucking hell.
Fuck me.
Oh my God.
Right?
What that money could do.
I know.
They live in a chateau in the south of France. They have a vineyard. Angie wears an interesting white dress covered in her children's multicoloured scrolls. I mean, it is goddamn marital bliss, I tell you.
Only she could pull that off.
Yeah.
Also, like, that dress.
She's been married a few times. She's like, how do I want to do it this time? Yeah, let's
it was a t-shirt the first time.
Yeah.
God knows what the second time. Third time, she was like, okay, I'll wear a white dress, but... There's graffiti all over it. So, marital bliss until one fateful transatlantic private jet flight where it is alleged a fight breaks out between Angie and Brad. Brad, high on weed and boozed up on drink, goes for his wife as Maddox, now a grown man, protector of Mama, steps in and takes the alleged hit instead.
Wait, where was this written? Like,
this is her, what she said...
Really?
After the divorce, right?
Oh my God.
So in 2016, news breaks that Jolie has filed for divorce and the fairy tale shatters. There's been an ongoing custody battle between the two ever since, and it hasn't gone away. So what once was couple goals is now another sad marriage gone south. So Angie is a mother to 6 beautiful children, but also to the world. So Angie has received a Jean Herschel Humanitarian Award and has been made an Honorary Dame Commander of the Order of St. Michael and St. George.
Oh, that sounds great.
right, among other honours. She promotes various causes, including conservation, education, and women's rights, and is most noted for her advocacy on behalf of refugees as a special envoy for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR. Jolie has undertaken over a dozen field missions globally to refugee camps and war zones. Her visited countries include Sierra Leone, Tanzania, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, and Sudan. Not only that, but she has been nominated for 9 Golden Globes, twice for an Academy Award, one of which she won. She has directed 5 feature films, written 2 books, one of which was published this year that aims to teach children and young adults about their rights.
Wow.
She is an outspoken, creative humanitarian and artist who has always been unapologetically herself, from the men and women she has dated to the political causes she has backed.
And she's raised 6 kids.
And she's raised 6 kids.
Oh.
Now, Angie may not have given up on her quest for love. She's been recently linked to The Weeknd.
Really?
Yeah. A mystery real estate man in 2018. Her ex, Johnny Lee Miller. Ooh. And even Hanako Footman. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh my God.
Okay, guys, I'm going to end this episode with a quick Angie quiz. True or false, Angelina was nominated for Worst Actress at the Razzie Awards for 4 straight years from 2002 to 2005. True or false?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I hope false.
I can imagine that being true because her films went from Gia Girl Interrupted to like less good films. Girl. So I'm going to say true.
True.
Oh, disgusting.
Worst actress? What is wrong with people?
See, this is why she's underrated.
Yeah. Also, would you rather have a Razzie Award or a Golden Globe Award?
I'd rather have a fucking Golden Globe, thanks.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Okay, from what country was Angelina granted citizenship by the king? A, Tanzania. B, Cambodia. C, Sierra Leone. D, Sudan.
I'm going to say Sierra Leone just because that was my instinct.
Yeah, I'm also trying to think, where has kings?
Oh, yeah, that's
Do they
true.
All have kings? Let's go for... Yeah, fuck it. If I'm wrong, Kath's also wrong. So my bets like that.
No, I think we're both wrong.
Cambodia.
Is that where Maddox is from?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she also did her film First They Killed My Father, which was set in Cambodia about the Khmer Rouge. And she used a lot. I mean, it was basically made by the Cambodian community and where Maddox was born. And she has a house in Cambodia because she wanted Maddox to have a connection to his motherland.
Oh,
that's good.
What letter is tattooed on her left wrist? A, M. Oh, that's confusing. 1, M. 2, H. 3, B. 4, J.
J.
What was her mum's name again?
Marceline.
I'm going to go for M.
Oh, M's good.
Oh, no.
It's H for Timothy Hutton, who she met on the set of Playing God and dated in 1997.
Oh, my gosh.
Does she still have her Billy Bob tattoo?
No, I think she got that lasered off or covered up with something.
Right.
Angelina's net worth.
Oh.
A, 160 mil, 120 mil, 220 mil, or 180 mil. The end, by the way.
220.
I think about 220. It's got to be. Maybe not.
160. It's only 160.
Oh, well.
Only 160 million. Fuck. That's not enough.
Wait, can we just say...
But if she sells her wedding ring, she'll have 161 million.
Yeah. No, because net worth is everything that included.
Yes, this is true.
So isn't it quite mad to think that one... Oh, what? It's not even 1% of her wealth is on that finger.
Right.
So I guess that probably makes sense in terms of, you know, what the average ring costs.
That's true.
1% of your net worth.
And also, who knows what her net worth is? It's probably
so
much more. It's either so much more or so much less because the internet always lies. Okay.
I think my internet net worth is like really high. And I was like, you are incorrect.
I wish.
I was like, what the hell? Where's all my money at?
Yeah.
Someone hiding it.
Okay. our final question. This one might be better suited for you, Cap, but ooh, Hannah, you better give it your best shot. Okay. So, in the new MCU film Eternals, which character is Thena, played by Angelina Jolie, distantly related to? A. Thor. B. Thanos. C. Loki. Or D. Hela.
I'm going to say Thanos.
I'm going to say Thanos, because Loki and Thor are Asgardians.
Yeah.
And Thanos is an Eternal now.
You're both right!
Yeah!
Yay!
It's like canon now that Thanos is an Eternal. What?
Well done! I had no idea. I clicked, I think I clicked Thor. Or maybe I clicked Loki.
Do you not remember Harry Styles coming in at the end saying, I'm the brother of Thanos?
No. No. I was more going, why the fuck is Harry Styles in a Marvel movie?
Thing.
And why is Harry Styles playing Eros? God help us all. So, gals, this is the end of the line.
Oh, so good, Hanukkah.
So
that's
good.
How you end an episode, right?
Yes, you do.
That's how it starts.
This is Hanukkah, the end that was so of the good. Line.
And I have such a newfound respect for Angelina Jolie.
Incredible woman.
So do you girls have a listener story for
us? Yeah, Kath and I both have ones because they're short today.
They're short but sweet.
Short but sweet, baby.
So this is a one-liner. And this is what... This is one someone's dated. They... They reheated his week's leftovers as our dinner date meal.
Oh, that is...
disgusting.
Actually, as in he reheated...
As in, like, I made a risotto on Monday, we've got a dinner date, I'm going to wine and dine you, and I just reheat that Monday risotto on a Friday.
But you know it wasn't a risotto.
It's not a risotto.
It's
like
a meatloaf. No. It's a mix. It's a mix. It's...
It's all the leftovers.
Yeah, it's a tiny bit of stir fry. It's a small amount, a small amount of pasta.
A little bit of Indian takeaway.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. But also, like, undeniably delicious. Yeah, but not appropriate.
Yeah.
No.
Zero effort.
The effort was
doesn't
weak.
Make you feel special.
Yeah.
Not one. Wow.
Definitely a man-child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This listener just replied saying, told me once that he met Kendrick Lamar's mum. And then later told me that he had lied about it just to impress me.
Why did you say his mum?
Oh my God. Not even Kendrick Lamar. It's
his mum.
It's like, how can I make this lie seem more real? Yeah.
I met Kendrick Lamar's
mum. Links for all our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the bloodletting of Angelina to the blood-curdling battles of The Witcher with the one and only Yennefer Vandenberg, played by Anya Chalotra.
Yes!
Yes!
So excited!
I'm so excited.
Oh, but in the meantime, guys, you can help us out by rating us, giving us 5 stars, and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own F-Boy or F-Girl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com, or slide into our DMs. We would love to hear from you.
You can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and occasionally Twitter at F-Boy Podcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So, watch out, Yennefer and Geralt. We're coming for you.